Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, good gracious. Cue the Oprah gif. You get a goal, and you get a goal, and you, yes you get a goal. Everybody's scoring goals. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network. My name is Tom Lang, as the big man, the big voice man said. This podcast is brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. New general manager Sean Sullivan wants you to enjoy the Bolts in style. How about the Bolts postseason? It's coming soon. 65-inch television with every new vehicle purchase at Bill Curry Ford. Showroom is just north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. You can check out the selection today at BillCurryFord.com. That's a live read out the gate. I'm feeling good, Tampa. How are you feeling today? Little frisky? Weather's nice? Scored 22 goals in the four games since we last spoke. We had two post-regulation defeats last week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. That's what we were talking about, and yeah, we were slumping a little bit. It's hard to come by a goal. And now, oh my goodness, they're dropping left and right. We are overwhelming opponents, especially the two that we played this week, Calgary and Dallas, a 6-3 win on Tuesday, a 6-0 win. That's right, 6-0, four goals in the first period. Man, oh man, Andre Vasilevsky ties a franchise mark, Ben Bishop's franchise mark, 17 career shutouts for number 88. Ben Bishop was in the house last night to see Vassy tie his Tampa Bay Lightning record. 8 points were available to our Bolts. Between the last time we talked and this edition of the podcast, we grabbed all 8 of them. Didn't need to go to overtime or a shootout to get any of them either. Beat Pittsburgh in an absolute war last Saturday, 5-4. That game was a whole lot of fun as the Pens are fighting for their playoff lives. Quick turnaround, we face the Florida Panthers on Sunday down in Sunrise. The good news for us is, even though we were on a back-to-back, so were the Panthers, and Florida was in Washington, D.C. the night before, so in a way, we were more fresh than they were. We looked every bit of it. Florida's playing some pretty good hockey right now, but they were not on Sunday. Took care of them 5-2. Big matchup on Tuesday. That was the one I hyped up last week when I said, hey, man, the best team in the West is coming to town in Calgary, and it was a Mike Tyson knockout early. Fight over. Thanks for the $80 for the pay-per-view, plus taxes and fees. This one is done. First round KO. We beat Calgary 6-3. And then last night against Dallas, I mean, before the blink of an eye, actually, I had the game on DVR, and I was home around 8 o'clock. And by the time I got home, I had mistakenly opened Twitter, and I saw the score. So I got to relive it later on, but I knew when I turned on the DVR feed, which was, I think in real time, there was about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the first period. It was already 4-0. So we got angry this week. We got busy this week, and now the NHL standings, well, it's kind of a laugher again. Toronto had closed the gap down to 13, potentially 11 with the game in hand they had. Now it's back up to 15 points. We have 90 points through 58 games in a National Hockey League that features a salary cap. A payment measure that tries to keep everybody around the same level of above average to below average. And we are great. Enjoy it, guys. The playoff push, it's coming. The playoffs start in 2 months. And this will all be for naught if we don't close the deal and win the cup. Said it when the season started. I'll say it again. Cup or bust. But that doesn't mean that you don't stop and smell the roses after a really awesome season, and with all of these landmarks that we're hitting for this journey of 82, we're having about as much fun as we possibly can have. 90 points do the Lightning have. Toronto, 75. Boston holds down the third place spot in the Atlantic Division at the moment. They have 72 points through 57 games played. Tomorrow night's opponent, the Montreal Canadiens, who had been so very hot the last, what, month or 6 weeks. They've lost two straight. Carey Price still is exceptional. He's playing like the Vezina-caliber player he once was. It looks like a return to form is more permanent for him. Montreal is in wild card position one with 69 points. And then you look over the Metropolitan Division. This one kind of splits evenly right now for the eight spots in the Eastern Conference. Four come from each division. So in the Metro Division, it's the Islanders with 74 points. They're leading the way. They've got 31 regulation overtime wins in case you need a tiebreaker. The Caps hold down second place. They played 58 games, 71 points. And Columbus had a little mini resurgence before losing last night, but they are in third place in the Metro Division. They're at 67 points, tied with Pittsburgh, but on the strength of regulation and overtime wins, the Blue Jackets have 32 of them to Pittsburgh's 29. On the outside looking in, Carolina 64 points through 57 games. The Buffalo Sabres, they're hanging tough. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10 games. They're at 63. And the Philadelphia Flyers are still doing some amazing things to climb back in this discussion. 8-1-1 in their past 10. Carter Hart's been fantastic for them. They're at 59 points. And then after that, the Panthers, Rangers need to do some serious work to get back into the discussion. So desperate teams came into our building this past week, and we dismissed each of them. The power play looked incredible. The offensive attack look potent. It won't be this easy to score once we get into the playoffs, but just enjoy it right now. And I'm going to go through some crazy numbers as we do the Joe Bolts fan three stars. And spoiler alert, it's actually going to be a lot of chalk, but let's fire it up.
Time now for the Joe Bolts fan three stars of the week.
Greetings.
Okay, now he tied a franchise record last night, but the number three star of the week, he has to take a back seat to all the production that we're seeing on the offensive end. It is indeed number 88.
Number three.
Thank you, Kenny Knox, for those of you that are new to the podcast, as we are about a year old now. Thanks to everybody who subscribes to this podcast. You can do so iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Player FM. We're all over the place. You also can just come to joeboltsfan.com. Or, whoops, I'm not going to rename the website. Sorry, Steve. Sorry, Lee. joebucksfan.com. And find the Joe Bolts Fan podcast every week. But that's Kenny Knox, former PGA Tour golfer. He's a Tallahassee native, which is where we record the show. One day we were doing an interview on the Jeff Cameron Show, and we thought Kenny had passed away because that sound, the lightning strike and the woo, I'll play it again.
Number three.
The phone cut out after that with a giant lightning strike, and we thought we had lost Kenny Knox, who was struck by lightning on the golf course like the bishop in Caddyshack. So anyway, the third star of the week is Andre Vasilevsky. Last night, he stops every puck he sees. He makes an incredible stop. I think it was in the third period on a wraparound attempt by Tyler Seguin. He gets his skate on it. He pushes from left to right. He does that so well when he tracks the puck. He is just incredibly quick at that explosive movement of getting from A to B in order to be square up to the shooter. In that case, it was a Tim Taylor attempt from Tyler Seguin. A push from left to right, and Vasilevsky makes a stop on a wraparound. Makes a couple of good stops in the slot, too. I think we're giving up a few too many of those. But when you're scoring at the rate we are, just enjoy it. Enjoy the show. And 17 career shutouts for Andre Vasilevsky, who has now creeped into the top three in the NHL in terms of save percentage. Like I said, may have been last week or 2 weeks ago. If you had a 2.1 goals against average, say, 5 seasons ago, you'd probably be number 7 or number 8 in the NHL in terms of league leaders amongst the goalies. A 2.08 goals against average is now number 1 in the league, and if you are in 5th place, like Andre Vasilevsky is, 2.39 per game gets you a top 5 ranking in goals against average. There are just a lot more being scored in the NHL right now. This season is crazy. You look at 100-point performers and the projections there. We'll get to one of those in just a moment with the number one star. There are many more goals and points out there to be had. It's not quite the late 70s or the early 80s, but it's a production level and era that we may be entering here where we're lighting the lamp more often. So with that said, Andre Vasilevsky is number 3 in the NHL in save percentage at a .927 clip. Fantastic number there. That's the key one. Thomas Greiss from the Islanders leads the way as both of their goalies. Actually, they're 1-2 in both categories, GAA and save percentage. Leonard at 208 in goals against, Greiss 220. And then in save percentage, it's Greiss at 930 save percentage. That's nuts. And Leonard at 929. But there's Vasi. There's Vasi at 927 save percentage. And I saw this week on the hockey news in terms of penalty killing save percentage. So when you're a man short or two men short, Andrei Vasilevsky leads the league in save percentage on the kill. It's around 910, give or take. Of course, it would improve last night as we didn't give up a goal, but it was around 9-10 in the middle of the week, and that's a marked improvement of about 20-30 points year to year. So you've seen an improvement on our penalty kill as we are flirting with number one in the National Hockey League. You're seeing the power play go crazy. Andrei Vasilevsky is a huge part of the PK, but what about the two guys that are big parts of the power play? Well, we'll start with the second star.
Number two.
Number 91 in your programs, the captain of this particular franchise and somebody who is playing like a captain. I challenged Steven Stamkos in the preseason, early season podcasts, to play a little bit more like Alex Ovechkin. And I don't mean with the physicality. Stamkos is not 6'3 or 6'4 and just a Mack truck skating out there the way Alex Ovechkin is. But you could see it. Every shift in the playoffs when we played the best of seven against the Caps last year, Ovechkin was airing it out like his life depended on every second on the ice. And I thought we needed to see a little bit more of that from Steven Stamkos within the construct of his own game. But you know what? Stamkos has answered. He now has 32 goals on the season in the last three games. Stammer has racked up 7 points since we last spoke. It's 8 points, but 4 goals in that time span. He scored 3 on the power play from his office. Last night, one of the dirtiest toe drag moves you'll ever see to create some space, then feeds the puck to the right-hand circle, back to Stamkos, and we get a goal, his second of the night. So Stammer is on pace to score 45 goals this season, and why is that important? We know he's a goal scorer, right? And that's his reputation. That's how he made his mark early in his playing days in the National Hockey League alongside Marty St. Louis. Well, if he scores 45 goals this season, that would be his highest total since 2011-2012. Injuries and a change in the way he plays the game have contributed to Stamkos' goal production going down. In 2014-2015, he played all 82 games and he scored 43 goals. This year, he looks to eclipse that if he continues on his pace. But the 60-goal season he had in 2011-2012 would be the highest mark he had, obviously, in his entire NHL career. But this year's production would be his most since 2011 and 2012. Highbrow stuff from Stamkos. He's improved in the faceoff circle, as we've talked about, which is really, really important. If you're looking at his shooting percentage numbers, it's as high as it's been in about 5 years. Which means he's feeling more comfortable, his lower half. You can see it, too. The thing about Stammer's game that has come to life this season, talked about it a few weeks ago, is that he is he's skating without fear. You can see his body language on the ice. He's not protecting any injuries to his lower body or his upper body. He's just playing the game of hockey. He has said so many times on record that, hey, I'm not going to feel the same as I did before I injured myself up in Boston years ago or with the thoracic outlet syndrome. It's never going to be exactly the same, but this is as close to in his prime, in his early years, as Stamkos has looked. The comfort level on the ice matches that of Victor Hedman, who returned from injury, and there was a bit of a feeling out process, but 77 looks to be a full go now, and you can just tell when somebody is skating without any inhibition on the ice. That's where Stamkos is now. That's why he's the number two star of the week. He's making some magic happen, and he's doing so, as I've said, all year long. The most important thing for the Lightning to go on a run in the postseason is for Stamkos to produce separate Nikita Kucherov in five-on-five situations. And they're doing that right now. The both of them separately are producing a ton of points. That's why when you look at the standings and you look at things like goals for, we have 229 goals in 58 games. 229. The next closest team has 211. That's the San Jose Sharks. We're 18 goals clear in our own conference. Toronto, known as a high-powered team, especially offensively speaking, when you're talking the skill, they go three lines deep with scoring skill. We have 23 more goals than they do at this point in the season. A lot of that has to do with the power play, but a lot of it has to do when five-on-five, Stamkos is producing outside of our number one star of the week. That's number 86.
Number one. Woo!
Ric Flair woo for Nikita Kucherov. What more can you say? He was held scoreless two straight games last week. Goals were hard to come by. And you could see an angry Nikita Kucherov after going 0-for and a minus 4 against Pittsburgh on Saturday. Didn't realize he was a minus 4. My goodness. It was a frustrated 86 down in Sunrise. And he scores an early goal. It's a bad goal, but it's just kind of like a hitter in a slump in the MLB. All I need is a blooper over the second baseman's head. Falls in that little triangle, and then what happens next? I go 5 for my next 10. That's what Kucherov did. The goal was scored, and that set him on a crazy run. In the last three games, Nikita Kucherov has produced 11 points, 4 goals, 7 assists. He now holds a 7-point lead in the overall point standings for individual skaters in the NHL. He's got 92. Patrick Kane has 85. Patrick Kane had actually caught and tied Nikita Kucherov a week ago. 86 says, the hell with that. Watch this Russian skate around the ice. And so he has. And he's done so without playing a ton of hockey. Last night, of course, we get out to the good start. He plays only 17:45, 18 minutes against Calgary, a larger swath against the Panthers, 19 minutes. But we haven't needed him to be on the ice a ton because we've been playing in front, and so we're able to roll out our third and our fourth lines. And on that note, third and fourth lines, way to go, Ryan Callahan. That goal celebration over the weekend when he scores on the breakaway and he crashes into the boards against Pittsburgh, that look on his face was pure adulation, pure joy, and it was great to see. We had just got done talking about how 24 was going to be the odd man out in terms of forward rotation. We were judging whether or not Matthew Joseph, Adam Ernie, Danik Martell were good enough to stick around. And Ryan Callahan's game had slipped a little bit. But Callahan, being the professional that he is, the leader in the locker room he is, he took it, not with a smile, but he took it as a professional. And then when he got his chance, he buried it. Great storyline to see Callahan get back in the act. And if he can develop through either rest or some more time on the ice, I don't care which one it is, into the type of player that he was for us in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against Washington, and you get the production out of Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov into this playoff run, you got to love our chances. You got to love our chances to finish the job. But that's the goal here. And I'll tell you something about how I feel about our chances to go and do that, win our second cup in franchise history, along with a cleanup on some of the merchandising stuff I was talking about last week with the third jersey, when we return on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Usually in the three stars of the week, I do like to find an obscure person that just beyond the score sheet, their play is it jumps off the page. And Sorelli, McDonough, JT Miller are candidates there. Hedman's been awesome. JT Miller's game continues to round into form. That was something that you could see even when he was third and fourth line minutes. Maybe it's much like last year when he was traded to Tampa. He catches some lightning in a bottle, no pun intended. But he looks like he's primed to finish a couple of posts in the last few games. But JT is not going to be denied. And I really do like him on that first power play unit. We'll see what the rotation looks like between he and Andre Palat. A note from Herb last week on the JoeBucksFan.com. I'm going to confuse Bucks and Bolts. We shouldn't in Tampa Bay, though. There's only one winning franchise right now in Tampa Bay when it comes to the big two on JoeBucksFan.com. I know the Rays did some amazing things with Kevin Cash, Florida State's own Kevin Cash, this past year. But the Bolts are the class of Tampa Bay. So we post on a splash page this podcast every week on JoeBucksFan.com. And Herb was saying, Sergachev is killing us. He's killing us with these turnovers. And you're right. But I think old 98 has improved this week, especially with Eric Chernak on the shelf. He's day-to-day with an injury. He's missed a couple of games. I think Sergachev has stepped up. Obviously, there was on the score sheet last night, you saw number 98, but his game has improved a little bit after what was a terrible slump of three or four in a row, where turnovers and this kind of in-between play was plaguing Mikhail Sergachev. But it looks like he might be rounding back into form. I saw also an article this week on the hockey news. So many random tidbits this week. You could tell I'm amped up. I've been doing some extra work around the office today. So usually it's the first thing I do on a Friday is record this podcast. But I'm in like that post-coffee mode. I don't drink coffee. But if I did, I suppose this is how I would feel. Very rapid fire today. This report on the hockey news that I read this week said if you were trying to find the kryptonite to the Tampa Bay Lightning, what would it be? And it's that sixth defenseman position. It's Dan Girardi. I don't disagree with that, but when Eric Chernak is on the bench and you face a high-flying team like Dallas last night or a high-flying team like Calgary and you only give up one even-strength goal over those two games, I'd say those six defensemen are getting the job done. And that's where we stand right now, and I'm really happy about that. And one thing I'd like to point out, and this is what I teased before we went to break, I've kind of flipped expectations. They're the same, but I've kind of flipped the way I feel about this team. I've bonded with it so much, watching them develop from year to year and watching them play together, play for each other, after the whistle scrums, we're there together protecting one another. If somebody's taken advantage of, we step up for that teammate. We're more physical overall. There are stretches of games now where we take it over physically in a way we never did when we were building up in this run where we were making the playoffs seemingly every season. I love the nasty attitude of this team. We don't have the size of the big clubs out in the West, like a San Jose, like an Anaheim, but we've got heart and we play for each other. And that has made me come here now as we're getting into the playoffs. I'm in a new place of nervous over the next 2 months. First of all, I'm always nervous that we got to stay healthy. As long as we stay healthy, we're in business here. But I've gone from I want the second cup, I want the second cup, I want to see a second Stanley Cup in franchise history, to I want it for these guys. Aren't these a lovable bunch of skaters out there? I mean, there are some Lightning teams. The one that almost snuck a Stanley Cup under Guy Boucher, you knew that was a bunch of smoke and mirrors. We were running the trap. It was like, you know, straight out of 1996. We would take advantage of the opportunities we got. We ran it to seven against Boston. I'd never apologize for a Stanley Cup, but that group was, they were playing over their head. It's its own brand of lovable, but it's not as entertaining. And we were kind of just like the redheaded stepchild in the NHL that year that was just not told no. Got past Pittsburgh in that first round, down 3-1. We win that series, then we sweep the Caps, and then it's a war with Boston. But it wouldn't have been as enjoyable to win that cup as if we would this year. I love this team. I really, really do. I love Anthony Cirelli. He's an awesome player to watch. Andre Palat last night, I don't know why, there was a shift so apropos of 18. Where he does all of these unheralded things in the defensive zone. He goes to the dirty areas in the offensive zone, and I'd love to see that guy win a cup. Tyler Johnson, for all he's gone through in his career, much like Marty St. Louis, told what he's not, told what he'll never be. He fights through all of that. We get to the precipice of winning a cup against the Blackhawks, and he breaks his wrist. It was either his wrist or his forearm. Kucherov and Tyler Johnson each broke bones in their arm in that series. He couldn't take faceoffs. I want to see that guy win a cup. I want to see Andre Vasilevsky win a cup. That dude has been the backbone of this operation for years now, since Ben Bishop left. How many times has 88 bailed us out? One of the greatest performances in Tampa Bay Lightning history came last year in the Eastern Conference Finals up in D.C. He single-handedly won us a game. I want that guy to win a cup. Steven Stamkos has turned into a complete hockey player. I want Steven Stamkos to win a cup. So it's gone. It's gone completely from I want it for myself. I am the selfish Joe Bolts fan host here on this podcast to I want these guys to celebrate. I want them to be the next dynasty, but they got to get that first one. I want Ryan Callahan to hoist the cup. Hell, I want Cedric Paquette to hoist the cup too. It's just a great group. And they deserve to be rewarded. I hope we do finish the job here. But I'm getting ahead of myself, as I said in the first segment. Stop, smell the roses. Enjoy what you're watching on a night-to-night basis. Because when the cycle breaks and we have our first terrible season, like a terrible one, in a long time, you'll look back and cherish these games and just the expectation that you had that was you routinely met, that we were going to score four goals a night, that we were going to make two or three plays a night that just made you proud as a fan. That's where I am right now. And that's where we're going to be for the next week as we face Montreal tomorrow night. Coming up on the schedule, too, as I pull up. Did I close out that window? What the hell are you doing, Tom? That's ridiculous. So here's the upcoming schedule. We play Montreal tomorrow night, of course, in Amalie Arena. That is a desperate Canadiens team trying to make a mark. A statement win it would be if they could get it in our building. Then on Monday night, we travel to Columbus. 7:30 puck drop. That game will be on NBC Sports. That's the first of a back-to-back. We go from Columbus, Ohio to the Philadelphia area. Our old friends, the Flyers, we'll see if Carter Hart makes the start that night on Tuesday. Puck drop a little after 7. And then on Thursday, we return home for the first of two. We play the Buffalo Sabres. So I imagine our podcast next week will be released on Friday, February the 22nd. Now, on to this. A cleanup of the talk last week on the third jerseys. I got some clarification, ruffled some feathers down in Tampa Bay about the third jersey and the price structure of the third jersey and the fact that I wouldn't be suckered in to paying $280 if you can get it for $230 somewhere else. For the regular blues and whites, that is. Well, here's the clarification. So they were selling the black third jersey on TampaBaySports.com, which is like the team shop inside of Amalie Arena when they debuted them and rolled them out last Thursday. Okay. Tampa Bay Sports is a separate entity, even though it's the team shop. It's a separate entity from Fanatics.com. Admittedly, this is in the weeds talk, so if you want to skip forward, I'm going to play some music for you on the way out. Go ahead, but I'm going to explain this to you. It's going to help you save money, okay? It's going to help you save money when you want to make a Tampa Bay Lightning purchase. So even though you can go to lightning.nhl.com and hit shop, it doesn't take you to the same place that you would go and shop for, or at least the same catalog that you would go shopping if you arrive at Amalie Arena. It's not tied together. Fanatics.com is the NHL partner for all gear. But the interesting thing is Fanatics.com can sell the same pieces of attire, hats, jerseys, whatever, as the Tampa Bay Lightning team shop, which is Tampa Bay Sports, for a lower price. I don't really understand that. As it was explained to me, when you go shop in the team store at Amalie Arena as a season ticket holder, you can get a giant discount. And so they want to incentivize season ticket holders to show up and spend in the building and get a big discount in that moment, at which point they would save beyond what the Fanatics price is. But to me, I feel like you're cannibalizing your own business when you have two different ways to buy Lightning jerseys. One is the actual team shop. One is the NHL national shop. And the national shop is cheaper than the team shop. Kind of confusing stuff, but that's the clarification. I had a couple of responses. Actually, I got a couple of messages from the Lightning. So I'll clean it up for you there. The team shop is more expensive unless you're a season ticket member. But if you want the best discount and you're not a season ticket member, just go to lightning.nhl.com and hit the shop button. You can find jerseys there for $225, and usually there's some sort of shipping bonus. Or discount code. Usually they run a special every week. So there that all is. And in conclusion today, y'all love Israel Nash. I love Israel Nash. I'm going to play one of those bright and sunshiny Israel Nash tunes from his latest album, Lifted. It's called Sweet Springs, and that is going to conclude this week's Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I hope you guys had a good time. And I'm always thankful to Bill Curry Ford for supporting this podcast. If you want to talk Lightning hockey with me, you can reach me on Twitter at _TomLang. You can also post on the Joe Bucks Fan .com page that this podcast will appear on. We'll talk to you guys next week, and we'll see how many points we pick up between now and then. But I'm excited for some good hockey. Montreal, Columbus, Philly, and Buffalo. Let's see what we do. Talk next Friday, everybody. Thanks for listening.